You know, it was a surprise to me in the last meeting that we were live already. It had passed me by.
Okay,
I call to order the Planning Commission meeting for Tuesday, June 7th, 2022. It is 6:06 p.m. This meeting may also be viewed on Channel 20 and is available on live streaming on the city's website and on www.slow-span.org. Members of the public may provide public comment during the meeting by calling 805-321-6639, and the phone line is now open. Commissioner McLaughlin, would you lead us in the flag salute?
Sure. Ready, begin.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Ms. Rotana, please call the roll.
Commissioner Rodman?
Here.
Commissioner Holden?
Here.
Commissioner McLaughlin?
Here.
And Chair Halverson?
Here.
Please let the record show that Commissioner Long is not present.
Very good. At this time, the Planning Commission will review the order of business to be conducted and receive requests for or make announcements regarding any changes in the order of the day. The Commission should, by motion, adopt the agenda as presented or as revised. Have we reviewed the agenda?
We have, and I find nothing I can correct.
Okay. Well, it's not a correction. This is for tonight's agenda.
Right.
Okay.
It looks like it's in order, and I can move that we accept it.
Okay. I have a motion to accept. Do I have a second?
Go ahead.
And voice vote. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Okay. The agenda is approved as submitted. So we move on to public communications, and during this, let me remind you of the phone number. Please call in at 805-321-6639 if you'd like to provide any public comment. During this time, the Commission will allow public communication. Any member of the public may address the Commission for a period not to exceed 3 minutes total on any item of interest within the jurisdiction of this Commission. The Commission will listen to all communications. However, in compliance with the Brown Act, the Commission cannot act on items that are not on the agenda. So I will open it to public comment and ask Clerk Rotana if we have anyone on the line.
We do not.
Very good. Seeing nobody on the line, we will close public comment and go to the consent agenda. Once more, if there's any member of the public who wishes to address the Commission on the items listed under the consent agenda, please call in at 805-321-6639. We have two items on the consent agenda. We typically are not going to discuss them. We are going to either pass or not. Is there a motion to accept the items on the consent agenda?
I so moved to accept the items on the agenda.
Thank you, Commissioner Rodman. Is there a second?
I'll second.
And once again, we'll do a voice vote. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed? No opposed. So the consent calendar is complete. Let's move on to the public hearing. And one more time, as a reminder, I would like, if you would like to call in for public comment on an item, please call in at 805-321-6639. So the first item on the public hearing agenda is development application 22-17. The applicant is Casey Johnson Construction, and assistant planner Cassandra Mesa has a presentation for us.
Thank you, Chair and Commissioners. On January 11, 2017, the Planning Commission approved development application 16-21 for a coastal development permit, and tentative parcel map to construct a two-unit, two-story planned unit development at 165 and 175 Saratoga Avenue. The original approval was valid for 2 years on March 11th, 2019 and January 22nd, 2020. The Planning Commission approved one-year time extensions so the applicant could address construction items that are required to be completed before map recordation. The property owner is requesting a time extension to address construction items that are required to be completed before the map is recorded. The owners have already pulled the building permits and started construction at 165 and 175 Saratoga Avenue and requesting a third and final time extension. Staff recommends that the Planning Commission adopt the resolution approving development application 22-17 for a one-year time extension for development application 16-21. Staff has reviewed the development code and determined that code changes have not occurred since the project approval that would impact the project, and the project is consistent with current development standards. Therefore, staff recommends the time extension be granted, and that concludes staff's report.
Thank you. Do the commissioners have any questions for staff on this item?
Chairman?
Yes, sir.
I have a question.
Please.
Does there appear to be reasonable progress? And my question is, was there a reason why the extension is needed for the applicant?
For them to continue the construction and getting everything ready before they are able to record their map.
Because of the code changes? There's been some change to why they got, since the second extension, why do they need a third extension? Has there been anything in their development that has slowed them down? And what they, I assume they originally planned to do it within the first without any extensions, and now it's taken three extensions and they still have not begun the project.
Both permits have started construction, so the project has
So they've
started.
Broken ground.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you very much. That's all I have.
Okay. Anyone else? All right. We will move on to public comment. The public hearing is now open. Clerk Rotana, do we have anyone who wishes to speak on this issue?
No, we do not.
Okay. Close comment. Close public comment. Any discussion amongst the commissioners on this item? If not, I will entertain a motion.
No, I'm only going to voice my disappointing again that it takes so long for, once a applicant gets approval, it takes so long for them to begin to break the ground even, that it is disappointing over and over again. And it seems to me, as always has, that reality is not my Rodmanism, doesn't work anymore. Reality means that they have to get financing, and I would hope they could know what their financing is before they come to us for approval. But I guess that's not reasonable.
Well, I know the COVID has really affected a lot of my projects, and the price of materials and everything's gone up.
Which codes? I'm sorry, I'm kind of ignorant of which codes. Everybody seems to blame
COVID.
Things on the code.
COVID.
Oh, COVID.
Yeah.
I keep hearing codes. I'm sorry. My hearing.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So I'll move to approve development application 22-17.
Thank you. Do I have a second?
Second.
Very good. We have a motion and a second. Can we please have a roll call vote?
Commissioner McLaughlin?
Yes.
Commissioner Holden?
Yes.
Commissioner Rodman?
Yes.
And Chair Halverson?
Yes. Motion passes. Let's move on to the next item. It would be development application 21-49. The applicant is Michael and Rose Morosen, and senior planner Rafael Castillo has a presentation.
Yes, good evening, commissioners. As stated by the chairperson, this is development application 2149. So these are photos that were not a part of your staff report, but were taken at the same day. That is showing the existing site conditions at 1073 Huston. So there's an existing non-conforming residence that is there that is proposed to be torn down. And you can see the site is partially developed wholly within the industrial zone. So this is an example of the aerial. Again, this is in the industrial zone, highlighted in the red area. And then this is the aerial on the right-hand side showing where the existing residence is. Just to note to the commission that there are numerous commercial cannabis approvals, as well as a commercial cannabis retailer and a testing lab that is across the street. So that is something to keep in mind as part of this proposed project approval. The proposed project before you is a construction of a 12,640 square foot industrial building. Proposed to have four separate suites ranging in size from 2,200 feet to 2,700 square feet. So this is what's considered a shell building, so it is flexible enough in terms of spacing for future tenants to add and subtract square footage as required within that 12,640-foot outline. The proposed building height is 40 feet. As stated earlier, this is near existing commercial cannabis uses, as well as some numerous proposed commercial cannabis approvals that have gone before you. The applicant is proposing to allow for, or is proposing a use permit in addition to the development permit that would allow for potential future commercial cannabis uses that are non-retail uses. So that includes manufacturing, distribution, or indoor cultivation. As a part of the proposed site plan, the project applicant has included a paver entry. There's a total landscape area of 5,430 square feet, as well as additional landscaping along the project edges. There's a proposed trash enclosure that meets the adopted industrial design guidelines, and the site is currently parking meets development code standards. So this is a picture of the elevation of the proposed building. It is a mix of stucco and galvanized steel on the facade that's facing Huston. It is predominantly a pre-manufactured steel building, however, again, the applicant is proposing utilizing that stucco facade that's facing onto Huston. The applicant proposes a varied roof heights with a steep pitch, which incorporates breaks along the facade along Huston Street. Also, the applicant is proposing various colors, windows, and other treatments to help break up that steel facade that you see. So again, we're trying to move away from just pure galvanized steel, but in utilizing these treatments. And because of this, it is consistent with our adopted industrial design guidelines. And then this, again, is a floor plan, a very preliminary floor plan showing the separate offices, which are parked differently from the proposed industrial uses. But again, this is what's considered a shell building. So they're going to construct this and then wait for tenants to lease the spaces out. So again, that provides a little bit more flexibility in terms of the size of each individual space that's within the building. As a part of the any development proposal, we do have to look at the adopted general plan to ensure consistency with that document. The pertinent general plan policies are land use 11.1, 11.4, and 20.3. 20.3 does have design objectives for industrial development, and that includes defined access, which in this case it's from Huston. The site does have convenient access for visitor parking and on-site circulation. There are no proposed outdoor storage or work areas. The proposed main entry is emphasized along the street, and the proposed architectural style and colors provide a high-quality building design, very similar to other previously approved new industrial projects seen before in the Planning Commission. Similar to the general plan review, we do have a consistency review with our adopted development code. So this is currently consistent with the development code requirements. It meets all proposed development, including parking, heights, and landscaping. And then there's a commercial cannabis component that is proposed for a future commercial cannabis user. So those include different components, including an odor control plan, a security and operations plan, and a noise study. All those are required as a part of any building permit that is submitted for a commercial cannabis use, along with any future commercial cannabis licensing that's done at a separate track with both the police department and the community development department. Because this is a new building, the Public Works Department and the Fire Department does review the proposed development. Public Works has proposed frontage improvements, including curb, gutter, and sidewalk. There's an on-site stormwater improvements, and the Fire Department review includes fire sprinklers for the new building. So those are items that have been included as a part of your conditions of approval. And finally, there is an environmental review that goes with, along with these projects, consistent with the California Environmental Quality Act, or CEQA. The proposed project qualifies for what is known as a Class 32 infill development. That is included in your draft resolution as Exhibit B, which is why it's a little bit thicker of an environmental document. It is a categorical exemption. However, there are many items that go essentially that we need to discuss and analyze as part of this exemption. However, it is not located in an environmentally sensitive area, and it does qualify for this exemption. So again, that is a part of your attachment as part of your resolution. So staff is recommending approval of development application 2149 for issuance of development permit and use permit to construct a 12,640 square foot industrial building and allow for potential commercial cannabis uses that are non-retail in nature. And with that, I will open up to questions from the commission.
Thank you. Any questions from the commissioners? Comments?
I have none.
And
no.
I have one. The the surprise. The west elevation of the building has that bump out on it, and I was just curious from a street view. I didn't think it was as attractive with that, and I don't know what the purpose of that is. That little bump.
So the bump out is actually the office, is what you're seeing on the proposed office. But again, it provides that ability to have that sort of third material that's there, the stucco and CMU wall. It is, you know, currently as our development code, it's morphed. So we've had this industrial design guidelines that ask for it. Our newly adopted
because it breaks the facade.
It does help break the facade is the best way of putting it. And again, that bump out is there for that office, but it really does help break up that steel facade that you see right from the front.
Okay.
Also, if you saw the landscaping in front of that, it would look quite a bit different, I would think, once that landscape's grown in.
Oh, well, it might help soften it up.
Yeah, that's correct. So we do have the meandering sidewalk that's a similar treatment to Huston, and there are two proposed large trees, and again, a much smaller sort of softer basin that's there for stormwater retention. So it is going to be well landscaped, but with those trees being planted, it does, again, help alleviate that break.
Okay, thank you. Any other comments, Commission?
Just that, well, on the breaking up of the stucco facade.
There you go.
And the roof pitch, and I just learned what a bump out is, that all of those contribute to breaking up, you know, rather than having an industrial building, square block, flat roof. I applaud all of these changes to allow for something that looks more attractive, even in the industrial area. So with that being said, are we ready for motion?
Not quite yet.
We haven't heard from the public yet.
That's correct.
Okay.
So I, at this point, would like to open it up to the public. If any member of the public would like to speak on this item, now would be the time.
Good evening. My name is Tim Beecher. I live in 1860 Sunny Hill Road in Los Osos. I'm actually the architect for the project. Just a couple of things, just to reiterate what Mr. Castillo has said, that we were trying to keep a flexible building in terms of potential uses, and then along with the design guidelines to avoid, you know, monotonous surfaces. So part of the reason for the quote-unquote bump out was just as a feature, a visual feature, too. The other item is that the owners have been advertising for tenants, and they would like to keep it open to not exclusively cannabis use. They want to have anything that's clean and approved in the area, but something where they will have tenants. And they've been advertising, and they've had a little hard time getting commitments from cannabis producers. So they just wanted to make sure that they aren't locked into that as the only use for the project. Other than that, if you have any questions on...
Does anybody have any questions of the applicant before we...
I do. I have one.
Go ahead.
Well, you brought up a kind of an interesting point. In, well, I guess in your opinion, would you say that increasing, you know, in a cannabis, it's kind of a designated cannabis area. Okay. When you say you want other applicants to build, you know, to rent or lease your property or buy your property, do you expect to have people that want to be near? Do you see a limit is what I'm kind of getting at. Do you see a limit because it's a cannabis area? Are we limiting rather than increasing use of the industrial area, in your opinion?
You mean we being...
the commission.
The city?
The city, yes.
Well, that's a really good question. Actually, I had not thought of that aspect of it. I was just thinking in terms of keeping an open door to various uses in case there weren't any commitments for cannabis producers.
I see.
There's no opposition or strong in favorness of cannabis. So it's whoever's going to be a dependable tenant and long term, hopefully. And they would like, actually, you know, like most landlords would like to rent the whole building as one use if they can. But that's why the flexible interior is proposed.
Thank you.
Any other questions for the applicant? All right, thank you. Clerk Rotunda, do we have anybody on the phone lines that would like to speak to this issue?
No, we do not.
All right, then I will close public comment, turn it back to the commission. Do we have any discussion? I guess I have a question. I'll go first this time because I'll be selfish. For staff. So he brings up the question of whether, since we're giving them extra permitting to accommodate a potential cannabis use, does that limit a different kind of industry from renting the space?
No, it actually provides the ultimate flexibility. So what it does is anything that's an allowed use within the industrial zone would be able to go in through just a business tax certificate zoning review. And then the commercial cannabis is the added flexibility. So that's really the easiest answer. Now, if a use proposes to go in that requires a use permit that isn't commercial cannabis, then they would have to come back for that specific use to the commission.
Right. Thank you. That's the only question I had. Anybody on the commission have any further discussion on this item?
Nope. Well, I suppose just on the same item, not to belabor the point, but that you feel, that staff feels, that because we are permitting cannabis, that we are not limiting a non-cannabis industry in the area. I could understand we could limit, it would obviously maybe limited retail, but industrial use, it seems like if we will allow cannabis, that maybe has a reputation for more pollution, more air, then if we permit that, we'll permit anything, and that should encourage an applicant. But what is your feeling?
So let me give you a more in-depth answer. So what typically you are seeing development applications for two applications, a development permit, that allows you to construct the building.
Right.
And if you construct the building, as Mr. Castillo just said, once you have a building in the industrial area, any use that's permitted, most manufacturing, storage, most uses are permitted by right. You're just giving the approval for the construction of a building. So development permit, building. The use permit then allows one type of use, typically, that allows a use or that requires a use permit, and that's cannabis uses. So in essence, the applicants, though, you have seen many that have an identified cannabis user, or they are the cannabis user, they want both to build that building and to have their use permit to have a cannabis operation. But you've seen several just like this. They want both approvals, but they really don't necessarily have any intent of having cannabis businesses, but if somebody comes knocking on their door, they can operate a cannabis business. So the answer to your question is, when you approve a development permit and a use permit, you're allowing all the permitted uses. They never have to do a cannabis project. That's their option. So we're really allowing the market to determine if there are cannabis uses. So there's no way that the Planning Commission actions are limiting non-cannabis uses.
Right. And in fact, it seems to me it would encourage a cannabis user because they know the building is already permitted for cannabis use.
Correct.
So rather than the opposite of denying it to any other user, it's encouraging the cannabis user.
It's giving the developer the ability to allow a cannabis user to come in there, and they're already entitled. They don't have to come back to the Planning Commission to get that use permit. So
thank you.
All right.
Yes. I understand now. Thank you. That's very good.
All right. Any other discussion? Commissioners, so we need a motion.
I will move to approve the development application 2149 for a development permit and use permit to construct a 12,640 square foot industrial building.
I will second that.
Very good. We have a motion and a second. May we please have a roll call.
Commissioner Holden?
Yes.
Commissioner Rodman?
Yes.
Commissioner McLaughlin?
Yes.
And Chair Halverson?
Yes. Motion passes. Thank you for all that. We have no regular business items, so we will move on to commissioners' comments. Commissioner Rodman, we'll start with you. Any comments for tonight? You don't have to have any.
I know, but I thought I had one, and I didn't make note of it.
Okay, we'll come back to you.
Well, other than I hope that the director's report will update us on especially the El Camino properties, and, of course, even though the state is now in charge of the lodge, the beach lodge, I hope we get an update on that.
Okay.
I'm sorry, I can't think
That's
of the
okay. Commissioner Holt? Commissioner McLaughlin? No? So I'll just throw in my two cents about agendas and agenda reports. I guess I'm old-timey because I like printed stuff to be able to read and review and mark up and flip through the pages on. And I don't know if that bothers anybody else on the commission or I understand we're saving our reproduction costs and paper and staff time and all that stuff. But for some of these things, it's very useful for me to have a paper copy, and maybe I'll just print my own at home. But I was curious if any of the other commissioners had a comment or an opinion about that.
It bothers me a little, but it's like the sign of the times, so I...
Yeah, I admit it, I'm old-timey.
Well, I'm probably the oldest timer.
Yes, I agree.
But I'm a new because I'm an old timer, and back to not waste, you know, save every penny, and paper waste. So I guess what I would like is I appreciate having the paper agenda. And I kind of think that if through a weekend, you know, I get the stuff on the, you know, on my tablet or the computer at home through the weekend, that on Monday, if I still need some report or something in paper, I could come down here Monday morning and say, hey, can I have that by the time the meeting is, that the staff could provide that. And I'm seeing a nod over there, so thank you, Nicole, which has always been my greatest supporter. Thank you.
Yep, I agree.
So I have one more thing. Sometimes we get plans, you know, big plans. Will we not be getting those at all? I mean, I feel bad for to have those. You know, I'd like to turn them into the owners or whatever instead of throwing them in my recycle, but...
Well, jumping ahead to Community Development Director report, I was going to just to, as you now know, we have moved to electronic agenda packets as consistent with what the council's been doing for several years. However, to your point, Commissioner Holden, I think there may be a few exceptions, and it may not be the staff reports, but if you were reviewing a large project of some type, I could see the need to have a physical set of plans. So I think, as we're kind of telling you that upon request, we can certainly get you those plans, and if for some reason we think it's an abnormally large or complicated project, we'll provide that. And I say that because remember that you will start reviewing projects, and people, applicants will be requesting exceptions to the objective design standards that are in the process of being adopted. And,
right.
For a small 25-foot little house, you may not need a large plan. But if we had large projects, I think I could see that benefit. So we'll play it by ear, but okay. I think basically, as Nicole is saying, if you want a hard copy, we can get that to you. Okay. But I think predominantly the projects probably won't be necessary to have a hard copy.
Okay.
Right. And my comment to that is I have always kind of chuckled at that I get the big blueprint kind of copies that, well, it's probably my ignorance or lack of expertise. I don't really need those at all. What I do like to see is the colored renditions of what the finished project is going to look like, a nice readable small print, online or not, of what the interior building, where the restrooms are going to be, and so forth. That I appreciate, but to have the big, large thing that you have to unfold and then figure out how to get it back into the packet
is a good
beyond
point,
me.
Commissioner Rodman, we're not requiring the applicants to provide the full-size set of blueprints, but we can print 11 by 17 reduced copies of that. So
right.
That may be the compromise, is that when
that
we do provide
right.
plans,
yeah.
we would do it in 11 by 17 format.
Excellent.
Right. Because that was the other comment I was going to make, I guess, is that for the plans that were included in tonight's agenda report, when I tried to look at some of those and tried to enlarge them so I could actually
right.
read things, they were so faint that I could not make anything out. So I don't know.
Do you have updated technology in your home?
No, I don't think it was my problem. Everything else comes out. I think it's. I don't know how you guys create those documents, whether they're scanned from electronic submittals that the architect gives you, whether they've gone through a couple of cycles of reproduction so that details might fade.
I'll shed a very technical answer to that. It's typically what's done is what's called a screenshot via computer. So technically speaking, you're getting it at a 72 DPI, and most of those PDFs that we get are somewhere around the 600, so it's kind of truncated, which is why it looks really messy. So that's something that Director Buckingham and I can come back to our staff and maybe yep. utilize attachments of the project plans, which would be a lot easier.
Yeah, that would be. I guess I don't mind it so much electronically if I can make it big enough so I can read it and see the detail.
But that's valid feedback. We need to give you a plan that when you do enlarge it is still legible. So we'll work on getting that to you.
But right. maybe even upon request too.
Yes.
Yeah.
Committed Good. To that. All right, if there's no other commissioner comments.
One more, just to include something on your director's report. I don't know if the review of the fiscal year documents will show how much is complete. How do I say that? How much is filled in the city of Grover Beach, and how much is vacant land, including permits including permits or billing, how much of Grover Beach is still available for building for a project?
So greenfield construction you're talking mm-hmm. about.
Yeah. In the housing element update that was adopted in November of 2020, there was a residential property inventory, which does include properties on Grand Avenue since they can be built with residential.
Right.
So there are very few vacant or undeveloped lots in the city. There are a lot of underutilized or underdeveloped lots.
Right.
And not all of those are necessarily identified. But this is something that, you know, why we meet with developers, or developers come in and ask questions, and we point those things out to them.
Right.
So it is not it's not a secret by any means. Any good developer will be able to find those properties. And obviously in our small industrial area, all you need to do is drive down Huston to find the vacant lots. So,
right. So is what is considered underdeveloped? So if you have in a residential area a one-story bungalow that is well-maintained and attractive, is that underutilized? Does it have to be a two-story residential unit to be fully utilized? Is the staff encouraging developers to do two-story buildings rather than retain bungalows? What can you do to answer that kind of a question?
Much more simple. In an R1 zone, one unit per lot. If you have one house, it doesn't matter if it's 500 square feet or 3,000 square feet. That's can't be. The home could have an addition, but you can't add more housing. So we consider that fully utilized.
Okay.
We have a lot of R2 and R3 lots that have only one unit and could have additional units. And
right.
And that's what the commission typically sees are projects that are either removing a home or maintaining it and building new residences.
Right.
So, are considered underutilized. They don't meet the maximum development potential from a density standpoint.
Good. So when we say we are allowing for an addition to a home, or we are allowing an ADU, are we encouraging those in any way, or we just are those by demand of what the applicant wants?
Well, ADUs are a separate subset. We do encourage ADUs. I mean, obviously through state law and recent changes ordinance, you're allowed by right. So we are encouraging that, though, as a alternative to, again, smaller, typical units. Again, I guess I could say that about all residential development. And part of the whole development code update that the commission just recommended approval of the council, and they have their second reading of that ordinance next Monday, that is all to facilitate or incentivize infill development with, again, a focus on smaller units, hence that fractional density. Hey, if you build only a 600 square foot unit, you now can build double the density. So we're always, the council goal is to facilitate housing, and staff is doing that, and Planning Commission by your actions.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. So
I'm satisfied.
I'm not going to ask again. Do the commissioners have any other comments? Director Buckingham, if you would, in your comments, he brought up Commissioner Rodman brought up another question that was what occurred to me yesterday. The City Council has passed a water reduction ordinance, I guess you'd call it. I'm not sure it was an ordinance. But anyway, whatever it was, they were running out of water for the moment, at least. What is the planning group staff looking at for if this continues? Are we talking about moratoriums or that sort of thing? If you could address that in your comments, that would be interesting to hear.
Sure. Well, I'll
turn
with
it
that.
Over to you.
The council, through their urban water management plan, what's the right term, Dave? It's a stage two, but it is a mandatory 10% reduction?
It's mandatory with no penalty. So.
With no penalties, correct.
Yeah, so I don't know what that means. But.
Yeah, so the answer to your question is we would be looking to the council when they go to a stage three or stage four. Ultimately, they would dictate policy change if there was limited water availability.
Sure, but they'd probably be looking for staff direction, staff recommendations.
But the urban water management plan kind of dictates these things.
Oh, does it? Okay, good.
They have to make that decision that it's met the criteria, but there actually is written criteria for what meets those stages, and there's a Lopez water management plan, that's not the right term, but it also dictates what happens when deliveries could be reduced. So stay tuned. The the council will provide all of us policy direction on water usage.
Thank you.
Which brings up another question is, it's been my opinion from the input from the staff that because of your excellent planning, that we are in a really in a serious water crisis, that we do have water for the continued building of additional housing. We do have some land, we have some water, we are not going to cut back on approving applicants because we have limited water usage. We have enough water usage for how we think Grover Beach is going to grow. So is that all of a sudden changing, or was I mistaken in my interpretation of your input earlier, or the staff's input?
Well, sorry. I'm going to say you're getting a little bit beyond the Community Development Department as the Public Works Department is okay. The one that provides oversight. But I'll tell you that in the long term, there's a difference between long term and short term. In the long term, it would look pretty sustainable, and that's why Central Coast Blue is such an important project, because that will be another recycled water project. In the short term, what happens is, as Lopez goes down, until it reaches a higher capacity again, that puts a constraint on the short term.
Okay.
So stay tuned. Mother Nature will tell
Mother
you when.
Mother Nature, if it rains for a month solid, the water level goes up, we're clear to go again. And there's no way of predicting Mother Nature. Granted.
All right, so we're going to move on to Commissioner's comments, the Community Development Director's comments.
Real quickly, no real hotel updates. Again, 950 El Camino, they went through a second plan check review, and we provided comments back to them. So they may be one review away from being able to have their permit issued. So,
which one's 950?
The lot that's been graded closest to the existing Oxford Suites.
Yeah.
So stay tuned. Trust me, when they pull a building permit, you'll know, because it'll make local news. So,
and the one closest to my favorite Italian coffee place seems to be stagnant. They clogged the creek with the cutting down a few limbs. They haven't done much.
You're asking on a monthly basis. I mean, when they're in plan preparation phase, until they submit something to the city, that can take 6 months, could take longer. So we'll keep you posted if they actually submit development plans to building permit application to the city. The only things on my list was we will have no July Planning Commission meeting. July 5th wasn't a great day following the 4th anyhow, but we don't have any items there. We'll be an August meeting. I would ask if any of you have vacations that are coming up that are on our typical commission day, if you can send us an email. We just always want to assure we have a quorum. So. And then last thing I'll mention is if you were
to... And that's the first Tuesday?
First Tuesday of the month.
Okay.
And last thing I'll say is if you are attending next Monday's city council meeting, you will see that the mayor is recommending that Commissioner Holden be reappointed to the Planning Commission. So,
yay.
Yeah.
Yay.
Thank you. I kind of cornered him in the at the concert this week. I haven't heard. Have I been replaced?
Yeah, I know. It's kind of a, yeah.
And last thing I'll just add, Commissioner Robin, you were asking about the time extension and why that applicant had been delayed. I could have added at that when you were asking the question. There was the original applicant was delayed, and they have in turn sold the project. And since the new developer has acquired it, they have been moving quickly, but needed this extension. So
good.
The answer, there was somebody that was being delayed or slow, but they sold the project in recognition that they weren't going to be able to complete the project. So
to me, that means that first applicant maybe was getting it for spec anyway and wasn't really planning to do anything because they didn't until they sold it.
Yeah.
And now you got an applicant that is motivated to actually do something.
Yeah. I would just say that staff takes the position and the commission should take the same attitude that we're here to review projects and you ultimately approve them, but it's up to applicants and the market as to whether those projects move forward. So as we say, until it breaks ground, they pull the building permit and they're under construction, everything is subject to not knowing whether it's going to happen or not. So.
Yep. Gotcha.
Anything further?
No, sir.
No, sir. Okay. Then with no further business before the commission, I adjourn this meeting at 6:51.